Good evening. Hello, it's July 23rd, 2023, and the time is 2020 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Interesting number. Carl Jung said, well, Ward Green, I'm with you. My name is Ward Green, and Carl Jung said, the shoe that fits one person pinches another. There's no recipe for living that suits all cases. Lao Tzu, the Chinese philosopher, said, there is no crime greater than having too many desires. There is no disaster greater than not being content. There is no misfortune greater than being covetous. Mark Twain, the only way to keep your health is to eat what you don't want, drink what you don't like, and do what you'd rather not. Our song for today is from 1978, is that right? Let me check. Yes, 78, but the charts are for 1978 through 1980. 3 years consecutively the charts were compiled, and the best position this song achieved was number 3 in Canada on the Canadian RPM Top Singles chart, but it was number 4 on one of the U.S. charts, two, and number 6 on one of the other U.S. charts. Number 4 in Canada on the RPM Adult Contemporary. It's from the band Dr. Hook, and the song is Sharing the Night Together.
Someone new to talk to. Oh yeah, alright. I'm feeling kinda lonely too, if you don't mind. Can I sit down here beside you? Oh yeah, alright. If I seem to come on too strong, I hope that you will understand. I say these things cause I'd like to know if you're as lonely as I am, and if you'd mind sharing the night together. Yeah, sharing the night together. Yeah, sharing the night. We could bring in the morning, girl, if you wanna go that far. And if tomorrow finds us together right here, the way we are, would you mind sharing the night together? Oh, yeah, sharing the night together. Oh, yeah, sharing the night. Would you like to dance with me and hold me? You know I wanna be holding you. Oh yeah, alright. Cause I like feeling like I do, and I see in your eyes that you're liking it, I'm liking it too. Oh yeah, alright. Like to get to know you better. Is there a place where we can go, where we can be alone together? Turn the lights down low and start sharing the night together. Yeah, sharing the night together. Yeah, sharing the night together. Sharing the night together.
Well, I have a very clear memory of this song. There were many people, I suppose, who were not as moral or not as not as good in their self-control, not as strong with their self-control, who may have taken that song literally as a recommendation to be indulging in fornication, but that's not how I took that song or interpreted it. But it's a very beautiful recording, is it not? I mean, it's a very, very good song. It was not written by Dr. Hook. It was released prior to that by another artist, or even perhaps a number of other artists, I should say. But in our study for the Born and Raised article for today, we have chapter 2, paragraph 10. Mr. Jones, in his article, The Persian Problem Resolved, on page 129, provides us with evidence for Jesus' crucifixion year, and on page 131 with the day of it, according to Orosius. The moon's age is given to be 14 days on the said day. Now, you can hear the quiet in this room because I've shut off my hard drives today, so there's less noise in the background. The air conditioning's off. This is the quality of the microphone, the Beyer MC740N, which I was using yesterday. It's set in the Omni position because I don't want to talk directly into the mic. If I were using a directional microphone, it would have to be pointing at my mouth. Probably I could use a directional microphone pointing down at my mouth, but this is the best way to record sound, at least as far as I've found, in the studio environment using this multi-pattern microphone. I set it for Omni. The moon's age is given to be 14 days on the said day in Orosius, but I would note here that this does not necessarily correspond to Nisan 14, for days depend on how soon the moon is seen after conjunction. We will hopefully treat the calendar more fully later. For now, the moon can be 14 days old on Nisan 13 also, namely when not seen until 2 days after conjunction. So if 1 day old is 1 day after conjunction, then two days after conjunction would be 2 days. And that might be the first visibility, which would then be Nisan 1. It would be Nisan 1, but it would be lunar day 2 or 3, perhaps, even. So if it were lunar day 3, we would take it then to be another 11 days to, or sorry, if it were 12 more days, for example, from Nisan 1, that would be Nisan 13. So if we start from 2 days after conjunction, it's 2 days old. That's what we're saying. 2 days after conjunction. It might be called lunar day 3, but whatever. It's not called Nisan 3 anyway. But it's the first sighting of the moon, which is actually Nisan 1. But it would be considered to be 2 days plus the other 12 to get to Nisan 13 from Nisan 1. That's 14 days. When Nisan 1 begins on the eve of the first sighting. In this way, we differ from Mr. Jones, and also in some other ways arising from his situation of the 70 weeks. He has Jesus die at the end of 69 weeks, or 483 years, with year 20 of Artaxerxes in BCE 454, which makes for the crucifixion year in 30 CE, as no zero year exists. So we have 483 minus 30, should be 453, but it goes one more year to 454 BCE, 1 year further back because there's no year zero in the calendar. We have one BCE and then we have one CE and there's no year zero. But Daniel 9:27, which says, and at the half of the week he will cause sacrifice and gift offering to cease, cannot be fulfilled save our Messiah dies at midweek. It says at the half of the week, he will cause sacrifice and gift offering to cease. The middle of the week is the preferred time, according to that, as indeed all sacrifice and gift offering is replaced by Christ, according to that scripture, at the half of the week. So that's our preferred time. This leads to the understanding that the 70 weeks need not stand apart from the 69 previous weeks, but rather that Christ may die in the middle of the 70th week, so that the middle of the first week comes 69 weeks earlier, 1 plus 69 equals 70, or 483 years before 30 CE. 483 being 69 times 7. That's what that is. 69 weeks of years, which remains just BCE 454, which we just calculated before. It's going to be the same answer as we had just a moment ago. Then in 33 CE, when Peter receives the first Gentiles in 33, that is, CE, the 70 weeks end for the Jews who lose exclusivity in their relation to Jehovah as his chosen people. So the 70 weeks of the prophecy of Daniel, chapter 9, end in 33 CE. So that's the end of our study for today of the Born and Raised article. There's more coming that's going to be quite, I hope, interesting and informative very shortly. Now from Proverbs chapter 13, we have verse 24. I feel even a little better today than I did yesterday. Apparently, with regard to my tooth, I mean. So, Proverbs 13:24 says, "The one holding back his rod is hating his son, but the one loving him is he that does look for him with discipline." Right? So, we all need discipline. Adults, perhaps ourselves, we are capable of disciplining ourselves. In some cases, some of us are, but children don't know how to discipline themselves and to keep themselves on the right path. So, discipline is a loving thing when parents exercise it to their children or when anybody. Or it's the same thing if a person's drowning. We are told that slapping them, or we learn this either by experience, having no other recourse, or someone teaches us this, that you slap a drowning person who's panicking, or a person, anybody panicking, you slap them to bring them back to their senses. That's loving discipline, is it not? I mean, it's something that helps rather than injures. Our study from Numbers is chapter 23. This is fairly short. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Build for me on this spot 7 altars and make ready for me on this spot 7 bulls and 7 rams." Balak immediately did just as Balaam had spoken. After that, Balak and Balaam offered up a bull and a ram on each altar. And Balaam went on to say to Balak, "Station yourself by your burnt offering and let me go. Perhaps Jehovah will get in touch and meet with me. In that case, whatever he will show me, I shall certainly tell you." So he went to a bare hill. When God got in touch with Balaam, he then said to him, "I set the 7 altars in rows, and I proceeded to offer up a bull and a ram on each altar. Accordingly, Jehovah put a word in the mouth of Balaam and said, 'Return to Balak, and this is what you will speak.'" So he returned to him, and look, he and all the princes of Moab were stationed by his burnt offering. Then he took up his proverbial utterance and said, "From Aram, Balak, the king of Moab, tried to conduct me from the mountains of the east. Do come, do curse Jacob for me. Yes, do come, do denounce Israel. How could I execrate those whom God has not execrated? And how could I denounce those whom Jehovah has not denounced? For from the top of the rocks I see them, and from the hills I behold them. There, as a people, they keep tabernacling isolated, and among the nations they do not reckon themselves. Who has numbered the dust particles of Jacob? And who has counted the fourth part of Israel? Let my soul die the death of the upright ones, and let my end turn out afterward like theirs. At this Balak said to Balaam, What have you done to me? It was in order to execrate my enemies that I took you. And here you have blessed them to the limit. In turn he answered and said, Is it not whatever Jehovah may put in my mouth that I should take care to speak? Then Balak said to him, Do come, please, with me to another place from which you can see them. Only the extremity of them you will see, and you will not see all of them. And execrate them for me from there. So he took him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and proceeded to build 7 altars, and to offer up a bull and a ram on each altar. After that he said to Balak, Station yourself here by your burnt offering, and as for me, let me get in touch with him there. Subsequently, Jehovah got in touch with Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, Return to Balak, and this is what you will speak. So he came to him. And look, he was stationed by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. Then Balak said to him, What has Jehovah spoken? At this he took up his proverbial utterance and said, Get up, Balak, and listen. Do give ear to me, O son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should tell lies, neither a son of mankind that he should feel regret. Has he himself said it, and will he not do it? And has he spoken, and will he not carry it out? Look, I have been taken to bless, and he has blessed, and I shall not reverse it. He has not looked upon any uncanny power against Jacob, and no trouble has he seen against Israel. Jehovah, his God, is with him, and the loud hailing of a king is in his midst. God is bringing them out of Egypt. The swift course like that of a wild bull is his, for there is no unlucky spell against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. At this time it may be said respecting Jacob and Israel, What has God worked out? Behold, a people will get up like a lion, and like the lion it will lift itself up. It will not lie down until it may eat prey, and the blood of slain ones it will drink. At this Balak said to Balaam, If on the one hand you cannot execrate him at all, then on the other hand you should not bless him at all. In turn Balaam answered and said to Balak, Did I not speak to you, saying, All that Jehovah will speak is what I shall do? Then Balak said to Balaam, Oh, come, please, let me take you to still another place. Perhaps it will be right in the eyes of the true God, so that you will be able to certainly execrate him for me from there. With that, Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, which looks toward Jeshimon. Then Balaam said to Balak, Build for me on this spot 7 altars, and make ready for me on this spot 7 bulls and 7 rams. So Balak did just as Balaam had said, and he went offering up a bull and a ram on each altar. So that's the end of our reading for the book of Numbers for today, little ones. When we look at our Corinthians reading, 1 Corinthians 3 now, we skipped over a part of chapter 2, but let's do chapter 3 first. And so, brother, I was not able to speak to you, brothers, I was not able to speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to fleshly men, as to babes in Christ, I fed you milk, not something to eat, for you were not yet strong enough. In fact, neither are you strong enough now, for you are yet fleshly. For where is there jealousy and strife among you? Are you not fleshly? And are you not walking as men do? For when one says, I belong to Paul, but another says, I to Apollos, are you not simply men? What then is Apollos? Yes, what is Paul? Ministers through whom you became believers, even as the Lord granted each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God kept making it grow, so that neither is he that plants anything, nor is he that waters, but God who makes it grow. Now, he that plants and he that waters are one, but each person will receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers. You people are God's field under cultivation, God's building. according to the undeserved kindness of God that was given to me. As a wise director of works, I laid a foundation, but someone else is building on it. But let each one keep watching how he is building on it, for no man can lay any other foundation than what is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood materials, hay, stubble, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will show it up, because it will be revealed by means of fire, and the fire itself will prove what sort of work each one's is. If anyone's work that he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Yet if so, it will be as through fire. Do you not know that you people are God's temple, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you people are. The congregation is, in the new covenant, the temple of God, because the Spirit is what is dwelling in the temple. It's not people, in the case of priests, or the people in the courtyard of the temple. Under the old covenant, this is the new covenant, where the Spirit dwells in the temple, which is the congregation of people. Let no one be seduced. Let no one be seducing himself. If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this system of things, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own cunning. That's from Job 5 and 13. To the one catching the wise in their own cunning, so that the counsel of astute ones is carried headlong. Job 5 and 13. And again, from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20, Jehovah knows that the reasonings of the wise men are futile. From Psalm 94 and 11, Jehovah is knowing the thoughts of men, that they are as an exhalation. Hence let no one be boasting in men, for all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things now here or things to come, all things belong to you. In turn, you belong to Christ. Christ, in turn, belongs to God. That's the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. Perhaps we can read that now. And so, I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come with an extravagance of speech or of wisdom declaring the sacred secret of God to you, for I decided not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him impaled. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling, and my speech and what I preached were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power, that your faith might be not in men's wisdom, but in God's power. Now we speak wisdom among those who are mature, but not the wisdom of this system of things, nor that of the rulers of this system of things, who are to come to nothing. But we speak God's wisdom in a sacred secret, the hidden wisdom which God foreordained before the systems of things for our glory. This wisdom, not one of the rulers of this system of things came to know. For if they had known it, they would not have impaled the glorious Lord. But just as it is written, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, neither have there been conceived in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's from Isaiah 64 and 4. For it is to us God has revealed them through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches into all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the things of a man except the spirit of man that is in him? So too, no one has come to know the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been kindly given us by God. These things we also speak, not with words taught by human wisdom, but with those taught by the Spirit, as we combine spiritual matters with spiritual words. But a physical man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot get to know them because they are examined spiritually. However, the spiritual man examines indeed all things, but he himself is not examined by any man. For who has come to know the mind of Jehovah that he may instruct him? But we do have the mind of Christ. That's the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from yesterday. Little ones, I hope you enjoyed the study today. That's all for the study for today. It's quite remarkable. I mean, we could talk about this a long time. So when we consider what was mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 about the unity or the lack of unity in the congregation, that was talking about something very specific. It wasn't talking about disagreements with regard to teachings or beliefs or anything like that. It was talking about one and different ones in the congregation claiming to be to have been baptized by Paul, for example, or by Apollos, and saying, I belong to Paul because I was baptized by Paul. That was where the disagreements were, because different members of the congregation at Corinth were saying one thing or a different thing with regard to the person by whom they were baptized. They considered themselves as belonging to either Paul, for example, or Apollos or someone else. Whoever had baptized them was their owner, is what they were saying, which was not in unity because they didn't understand Christ was the one in whose name they were baptized. That would make them at unity if they all believed that, rather than believing that it was the power of Paul or the power of Apollos. Now, they were just the ones who planted, for example, or watered, and God was the one who kept making it grow in verse 6 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. God was the one who made things grow. And God was the one who sent Jesus as the Savior of the world and the ransom sacrifice for the world, so that anyone who believes can be saved. And it's therefore in the name of Jesus that all Christians are baptized, not in the name of Paul or in the name of someone else. So that's it. That's all for the study. But this microphone, okay. I hope this recording is going to work out well today. I never know because I can't hear it while I'm recording it. Yesterday I wore the ear pods, but I wasn't using them to listen because there was no way to listen with a MacBook Pro. It's not a duplex audio system where you can listen while you're recording. In other words, a duplex system can enable you to listen to what's been recorded immediately after it's been recorded. So you can actually hear whether you recorded things successfully in a full duplex audio system. This is not one of those. But the microphone quality should be excellent, actually. But the small Electret microphone attached to the ear pods is also exceedingly good for its size, of course. That's the amazing thing about Electret condenser microphone technology, is that you can make a very small microphone that has exceptionally high quality with that technology. And Apple had become aware of that, and that's how they were able to make these little ear pod microphones so effectively and so inexpensively too. Whereas, you know, I mean, that little ear pod stereo playback device is just it's a listening device. It's only about $25 or something like that. But this microphone was $1,500 35 years ago. So what it would cost now might be more than $2,000 Canadian, which is a lot more. It's almost 10 times what that other one is. So the advantage of this one is it's good. It's, well, I'm not sure if you, why you couldn't use a small one for doing studio recording, but back in the days when, excuse me, when I bought the Beyer MC740N multi-pattern studio condenser mic, there wasn't these little electrets didn't exist with the quality that they have now, for one thing. Let's get on to another topic. I want to talk about some of the food that I've ordered. I ordered some food. I got some mango juice. It's really good, but any sugar will injure your stomach if you, so you can't drink a tall glass. That's why we don't drink a tall glass of orange juice in the morning, for example, because of the sugar. Even fruit sugar, if it's not taken with fiber, if it's juice, it injures the stomach. Although, I've had juice from a slow gear juicer, which supposedly removes all the fiber, but I guess it doesn't remove the microscopic fiber. But I've had that juice, and it was, we would drink tall glasses of juice with that juicer, and it never hurt our stomach. But if you buy a store-bought juice, you can't drink a large amount. I found that out twice recently by hurting my stomach with the sugar. Sugar in the stomach is what attacks the stomach. It's not the fruit. It's the sugar. But it's the sugar in the fruit. So we're nearly done our talk here. Our study, our time is nearly concluded, but not quite. But the thing is, I also ordered beetroot juice, beet juice, and it's obtainable at a fairly economical rate online, so you can buy that. I can buy that. I bought some here. I have it, but I haven't tried it. I tried the blueberry juice, which I bought, and it's not not terribly inexpensive, but I mean, it's, you know, to get some blueberries into your life. And I tried to buy pomegranate juice online, but I can buy it locally, so I probably don't want to do that because it's too expensive online for some reason. But the mango juice was really inexpensive because they mix it with pear juice. It's mostly pear juice, but you get the mango flavor, and it's delicious. And the price of it is not really more than what you would expect. And you get, like, you get 128 ounces for $50 Canadian, which is exceptional. So it's about $13 per liter, something like that, I think, or maybe a little more than that, which is not bad, because pomegranate juice I can get for $10. I think it's for a liter. I'm not sure, actually, what that is. I think it's a liter, yeah. I did check, but I forget. I think it looks like about a liter, but it could be even, if anything, I would have thought it was more than a liter, but to be able to get pomegranate juice for $10 a liter, that's absolutely magnificent value. Because that juice is so good for the health, and so are mangoes, I believe, to no small effect or degree, and same with pear juice probably too. But they have to pasteurize those juices, whereas the pomegranate juice was cold pressed, so I'm not sure that it was pasteurized, which would be better if it's not pasteurized. So that's it. I love you very much, and it's time to conclude the study on July 23rd, 2023, at the time, 2053 hours Eastern Daylight Time, Ward Green, and in my behalf, it's Gully and Willie saying bye for now.